and welcome to Trash with Hot Goss.
Nope.
No. Nope.
Oh boy. I'm recovering from a parasite stomach upset, so we're in for a ride today because yesterday I confused salt and nutritional yeast and put way too much salt on pasta.
No.
So I had to scoop off the top layer. So let me take that one more time. Welcome to Hot Goss with Trash. I'm Lindsay, falling apart. It is the podcast where we trade facts, like the dirty little pieces of gossip, and then we rate them. But the points don't matter. But what does matter is that we're all hot, as is our guest, as always. I'm Lindsay, and as I mentioned, my fun fact of the week is I got a stomach upset and found out it was a parasite. Have no idea how I got it. Have been incredibly exhausted, but I'm on the mend.
Oh my gosh. I'm Rachel. I've seen a lot of people on TikTok. This isn't a fact about me, but I've seen a lot of people on TikTok eating papaya seeds. Apparently that helps you pass a parasite, and a lot of people will finding out that they have parasites when they didn't know.
they can go unnoticed.
Yeah. Consult a doctor before you do this.
I'm Chloe. I'm going to change the subject a little bit. I have a personal conspiracy I would like to raise. I received a package of 83 rings in the mail yesterday. When I say 83 rings, I mean actually 83 finger rings. They were unmarked, and I don't know who sent them. The only thing that came on the Prime package was my first name and my street and street number. That's it. Who sent these? Did one of you send these? I didn't do this. If you sent me these rings, please tell me. I'm really scared.
Hi, my name is Shem. No one sent me anything. There are no invasive species in my body. I feel like I have nothing going on, like, comparatively to everyone else. Like, just a real low, quiet hum.
Chet, you can go now.
Oh, it's okay. I am Chet Siegel. I have also not been a host to anything. parasites or otherwise. My little fact about my week is I have completely forgotten how to order at restaurants. I went back to a restaurant this week, and I don't know the appropriate amount to engage with a waiter. I'm just so eager to talk to people. It's too much. When they ask me how my food is going, they don't want to hear an extensive review.
I love that.
I love that so much. I used to work in a bar where we serve food, and the food was really bad. So I would always hate having to go back and be like, how's your food? Because the answer was usually bad. So I would try and ask it really quickly and then reverse back out.
People would tell you it was bad. I would sooner eat glass than tell you that I have something sharp in my mouth.
I mean, someone's fish was still frozen. So I think he had a right to tell me.
No. It's real bad.
It was like a pub, and everything pretty much came from a freezer, went in a fryer or microwave, and then went out. And like, it was a real like insight into whether, like, the level of cooking that happens in a pub.
Yikes.
But good yikes. You have already heard from today's guest. We are thrilled to have her on the podcast. Today's guest is actress, comedian, Chet Siegel. And you should check out the movie she's in, Uncle Peckerhead. It sounds fabulous. Welcome to the show, Chet.
Oh, that's new.
That's new.
I liked that.
Guest study.
Welcome, Chet.
We're thrilled to have you on the show today. Wait, we can't hear you now.
Oh, I'm thrilled to hear all of you. I muted because I have a pit bull who, whenever I am podcasting or on my microphone, she likes to pick up her bone and drop it near my feet. So there may be some cluds. Yeah, she just wants to participate.
Like, hi, I have a fact.
The fact is, I can screw you shit up anytime I want.
I have the power.
I run this house. You think you have control?
No. Fun fact, you pay rent. I own this place, bitch.
Fun fact, you work for me.
Naturally.
One of my colleagues' cats will get on and type, but like send nonsensical messages. And the people that she has to message a lot now know when it's her cat because they're like, yep, this is not this person's. It's just their cat being like, hello. Beautiful. What's happened during the pandemic? But more importantly, what's happening with the first fact, Rachel?
Wow, honestly, this is a great segue into my first fact. And by my first fact, I mean my only fact and the first fact. So there is a psychosomatic illness called puppy pregnancy syndrome. And it's mainly culture bound, meaning it really only happens in rural areas in West Bengal and India. But people believe that if they're bit by a dog, they will become pregnant with puppies. Even males, and it truly like has caused the people who live there a ton of one somatic, so like physical illness, and then also psychological, which technically like the DSM-5, which is kind of, it has its own issues, but it wouldn't consider this a disorder because it is culture bound, but because of how many people are seeking help from it, or because of it, psychiatrists are actually starting to look into it more. There's a strong correlation with OCD, which is interesting. But yeah, I apparently like in one case, an 11-year-old boy came in and was convinced that he had thrown up a dog embryo because he was bit by a dog. I don't know why so many people are being bitten by dogs. That it's happening this much, but yeah, I thought that was really interesting
because they want those puppies.
That's another problem. Like some people who want to have the puppy won't seek medical help, and if they have rabies is like you have to be vaccinated within like 24 or 48 hours. So that's why it's becoming an issue on top of that. But there are other like culture bound disorders that aren't necessarily recognized because people aren't seeking help from them. Like, I can't remember where, but there's a community that all of the men believe that their testicles are going back inside of their bodies. So they wear weights on them to keep them down, but no one is complaining or suffering about it. It's just like something they all do. They believe if they're not weighted, it's gonna go back.
I mean, I think there's some suffering attached to that.
They're cool with it. I guess. I don't know how cool. But yeah, fascinating.
Wow.
I wonder if what if they're all just lying? They're like, yeah, you're still doing, yeah, I'm still doing it. You're still, yeah. But like nobody.
You still got the weights on?
Yeah. But like, because that feels unsustainable. I don't have testicles. I'll put that, I'll say it. But I don't feel like that's sustainable.
Yeah, I don't know.
The human body is pretty miraculous, so it can do quite a bit.
Yeah, oh, yeah, God.
Yeah.
This puppy fact, this puppy pregnancy fact, this puppy biting thing, it really sounds a lot like cousin logic, like a cousin prank gone rampant.
Yes.
This is something a cousin or older sibling tells you at a formative age. It really feels like that. I mean, there's something really sweet about a young child being upset because they think they barfed up a puppy embryo.
Yay.
And also bless you for understanding embryos, but not the digestive system. Like, you know enough. Oh, bless.
Yeah. I should say that it said embryo in a scientific paper. So I don't know if that's like the writer saying embryo. And the young boy being like, there was a tiny baby in my vomit. but I hope that he knew it. I'll believe that in my heart.
What we basically seem to have to do is spread this disease of puppy pregnancies to white people in LA, and then it will be recognized and you'll be able to get like treatment. Like, I feel like once you get it in like Los Feliz, or like just anywhere in Hollywood, it will suddenly, there'll be a Netflix series all about it. Everyone will be like, wow, update the DSM-6. We need to get this in there. So God bless you for your work, Rachel.
Kiosks with like medicine along the beach.
Yeah, I need to get Cher involved in this so she can do a doc.
Cher and Los Feliz. Very important. The pipeline is you got to get it to Los Feliz. Then it'll, Cher will hear about it.
Yeah.
And then we're going to get it to Netflix Twitter. And then we get treatment.
Oh, yes. God.
Perfect. Yes. You just need to go outside Franklin, get a small dog to bite Cher. Help. And then get it on TikTok.
Yeah, I guess the same thing, thinking about like the cousin logic. You know, everyone was scared to eat watermelon seeds because they thought there was definitely going to be a watermelon growing in them. The Rugrats really drove that into my psyche. were there any other things that like your family has told you that you believed when you were little? I'm trying to think.
This is real, but my mom really freaked me out, and that stuck with me, of just like poison leaves, poison berries, whatever. She would like lose her shit if I even went close to like poison berries. So now as an adult, I'm like, get away from me. And like, I know if I'm in a survival like mode, I'm not going to make it because I won't eat anything. And also my sister was just like in the car, and I witnessed her as she was like, I'm going to eat this poisonous like plant. And I was like, okay. Let's see what happens. And she did it, and she was fine. So I kind of have both sides. So I started this without knowing where I was going to end, and I'm going to end here.
I love it. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
I thought there were 32 days in August because of my mom's best friend's kid. My birthday is August 31st, and I was like, my birthday is last day in August. And he was like, no, there's 32 days in August. And...
we're birthday, my ass
spread
birthday
that around.
Sisters. what's the midnight? We're sisters. The change of midnight.
You are. Me too.
With Rachel, very yes.
Cool. Chloe and I have the same birthday, so I'm September 1st too.
Oh wow! Very cool. Yeah.
I didn't even like clock that. I was like, yeah.
I was like, you can't register, but I was looking right at Rachel to be like, Rachel, what is it called? Rachel. Oh yeah, same birthday.
Midnight sister.
So you guys were born on August 32nd.
Yes.
August 32nd. Famous, I'm so sorry. August
32nd. My dad tried to convince me that there's a tiny aisle just off the bottom of the UK called the Isle of Wight, and we were going on a school trip, and I think the school teacher was trying to trick us into believing they spoke French there. And I did not believe him. And then my dad was trying to back him up, and I didn't believe him. So I was just very cynical. I was like, no.
My dad tried to convince me he was friends with Bob Marley. There was a long period of time when Bob Marley lived in London. And my father said, oh, I used to hang out with Bob Marley all the time. And like, we talk about music and like hang out and play soccer. And it was like really, really cool. And my dad is classically full of shit. And we'll just say, yeah, I'm really good at this. I was really into that. Like, I can play that. I'm like a great musician. I used to be really fantastic back in the day. Full of nonsense like that. So he told me that. And I was like, this is outrageously clearly not true. Then I went to Jamaica to the museum that's in Bob Marley's house, was wandering through with my brother and sister. And then there's one room that is just full of like photographs along the wall of Bob Marley throughout various parts of his life. I like looked to the left and suddenly saw my dad sitting with Bob Marley. On top of the car. I was like, bloody hell, was everything else correct as well? It's harrowing.
Wow, that took a turn.
Wow. Did you say he was classically full of shit?
Yes.
I love the classic.
It's different ways trained to be in the art of shit. Just winging it classically.
That's where I get it from.
Yeah. I'm self-taught. I don't have a classical background.
My shit is by ear. So.
My shit is by ear.
Rachel.
Yep.
Your fact was as hot as a little puppy dog in summer when they get so hot after a lovely walk and they're like, water bowl, and sip up all the water bowl.
Wow. And if you drink that water, you'll become a puppy.
You're like, you'll get sick. And I was like, yeah, I'm not going near it.
Rachel, your fact was as hot as my thigh looks to any dog I seem to come across when they seem to go, hello, look at your leg, I gotta do the nasty. That's how hot your fact was.
Classically hot. Thank you so much.
Rachel, your fact is as hot as a human in heat.
Thank you.
No follow-up, no details.
Rachel, your fact was as hot as a fresh cup of coffee. Ooh. Coming back from a snowy morning dog walk.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah. I was moved by your fact. Oh, I think
so
it's
much.
Sweet that one can, I even though it's a bite via biting, I think it's sweet that the idea that one could be impregnated by a dog. So yeah. I choose to be warmed by this fact cozily, like a fresh cup of coffee.
Oh, thank
I
you
love
so much.
That.
That's beautiful. I feel like that's one of the most like lovely fact ratings yeah. you've ever had. We're all just like trash.
It's like a flame.
so that beautiful.
Great. Chloe, take it away with your fact.
Okay, mine will be, I think, quick. Once again, found on TikTok, researched.
It'll be fast. It'll be really quick. It's coming up now.
60 seconds.
This
you could all follow along.
Like and subscribe.
Okay. So I hope we haven't said this before, but the difference between Coke and Pepsi, like why it tastes different? Mm-mm. Okay. So one, one is meant to be, oh my God, I lost where it is. Hold on. I'm so sorry. How's everybody doing tonight? okay. So Coke, they taste different. They essentially have the same ingredients, but Coke was made before refrigerators, so it's meant to be drunk warm, whereas Pepsi is supposed to be drank cold. So if you, let me do my math right, warm Coke and cold Pepsi essentially will taste the same.
Whoa.
Interesting.
Taste test.
I have, yeah, that I didn't research it that far because I really don't like Pepsi and I'm not willing to spend my money on it to see if it's, I actually do like it.
Oh, sorry, you go, Rachel.
Oh, I was just going to say we did a blind, in one of my marketing classes in college, which is really funny. We did a blind taste test of Coke and Pepsi, which I feel like was like a elementary school project then at the college level. And people couldn't tell them apart, but the warm factor really makes it interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I imagine my mouth would be able to taste which one's warm. And I would say, Coke.
I mean, imagine. I can't be certain, but like,
I can't be certain.
Who knows?
It's been a while. My mouth's not as sharp as she once was.
That's beautiful. Can I tell my slightly? I was gonna bring another fact, and it's not even a full fledged fact. Did you guys know about the cheese caves?
What?
No.
Oh, that sounds like a fact I want to hear about.
So, see, this one I really thought we had brought up. There are the government basically, long story short, subsidized cheese. We're going to help the dairy industry. But now they still have so much cheese. There is just pound, basically for every American, you got 4 pounds of cheese holed up in cheese caves. And that's why, like, they're just like, if you, like, restaurants, advertisements, whatever, that's why they're so dairy heavy and cheese heavy, is because the government was like, please say cheese, we have so much cheese, we need you to use this, please.
Mm-hmm.
Is it, they've also done that with milk. They like
and
say
corn,
it's,
right? Yeah. We have so much corn. We have so much corn and big dairy.
Everyone like have cheese. Those cheesy corn omelets.
Oh, sorry, honestly, I double facted, but I was like, I saw the cheese tab and I was like, I really want to mention the cheese.
How long does it keep? I feel like you should not eat the cheese from those caves.
Well, they were doing this at least for like World War II. Part of their rations were like powdered cheese and whatnot.
Yeah.
So it's been happening for a while. But I think now the dairy industry, I think, is relying on being subsidized as well, so it's like a vicious cycle of we have so much cheese and it'll never stop.
Wow,
that makes me sad.
I mean,
and also hungry.
I hate to say this, but you can just stop making cheese.
I Chem, I'm vegan too. I'm on board.
I mean, definitely stop making the American cheese. Yeah. Is it really plasticky cheese? Is that cheese?
No, it can't be.
I have a fondness for the shit cheese.
I was like, that's Kara's favorite cheese. Oh, really? We always have like so much of it in our fridge.
It's the nicest I have to be living here is being kind to people about the cheese they consume.
So yeah, like, most of it is gross here. Like
our friend realized recently that she could switch out having American cheese for cheddar on a bagel and was like, how have I not realized before?
Oh, yeah.
I had the opposite. See, I the first time I got cheddar on, I'm from West Virginia. So I'm from some, I say with love, trashy food capital. I love the trash food there. But the first time I got cheddar on a burger, I was like, why is it oily? Why yeah. does it not melt? Like American cheese is really just meant to disintegrate. It's mm-hmm. it's chemically engineered to just be a moist, a sandwich moistener.
Yes. Maybe they need to change their marketing to that. Go and try bread.
Sensitivity to dairy, and it's not as strong with American cheese. That's true. I can pound American yeah. cheese. No one should, but I'm doing it.
Do it.
That's what I recommend.
For the good of the nation and those cheese
For the good of big dairy, okay? I'm trying to get us out of this cheese hole we've been in since World War II.
You can do it.
Being from like trash food area, do you have any like, not like family recipe, but like maybe family or like area things where you're like, this is like the recipe. I'm sorry it's trash, but like this.
Yeah. Pepperoni rolls. Are my favorite West Virginia food. It's a classic West Virginia food that that originated in the mines. Like it's a soft Italian, like kind of a sweet roll that inside has pepperoni and sometimes cheese, like shredded cheese. And Italian miners would sort of make this and bring it into the mines like hundreds of years ago when Italians were mining in West Virginia. And that's like the genesis of this food. But you can get it at every gas station. It's like a soft, yeasty, like, I don't know if you've ever been to Bob Evans, like a yeast roll at Bob Evans where you just like, oof, you can smell the yeast on that. Like a yeast roll with a pepperoni stick inside.
Oof. Oh, yeah. Oh.
That sounds good.
That does sound good.
Yeah.
And shit on a shingle, but that's like a military thing that chipped beef with cream, you know, like those frozen blocks of chipped beef could shave into really thin slices. And it's like, yeah, it's called chipped beef or shit on a shingle. I love that. And it's like a white gravy with like chunks of very processed thin meat inside.
Wow.
Yum, yum, yum.
Yum, yum, yum.
We had walking tacos, which I heard are not an East Coast thing.
What are?
In Arizona, walking tacos. It's basically just like a Doritos bag cut open and you put like all of the taco fixings in it and then you get a fork and you can just walk around.
Oh my God.
Like a big fair food.
I think I just want to make that.
Tacos are famously handheld.
I know.
But look.
Not enough.
You just can't walk at the same time.
Okay, you're thinking like just one taco per hand and they were like, gotcha.
Got ya.
Chloe, your fact combo is as hot as a grilled cheese sandwich, oozing with the cheese and the sides.
Ooh, yum.
Ooh. Yeah, Chloe, your fact is as hot as like a Big Mac at McDonald's with that ooey gooey American cheese and cold Coca-Cola, which they say Coca-Cola tastes the best at McDonald's because it's one of the only places that cools the syrup as well as the fizz. So McDonald's Coke tastes different than other Cokes. Mindy Kaling did a commercial about that one. And I was like, I know it.
Wow.
It tastes different in a plastic glass versus a glass as well. Because if you put Coke in a wine glass, it like airs differently. So it will taste slightly different. And yes, I have put Coke in a wine glass.
Same.
Chloe, your fact was as hot as the 100 degree boil to the temperature of tea concoction of hot Pepsi and hot Coke I'm going to make after this. I'm going to try and boil it up, see what happens when it reaches sippable temperatures.
Like it'll just revert back to its sugar stage.
I think if it there's revert back to the chemical compounds they use to approximate sugar.
Yeah, true.
Oh yeah, it depends where the Coke is from.
It just turns just, into like the what's that fucking this the chart. The, oh no, the just, element.
Element.
Yeah.
It'll just be the periodic table and like some vials. Just three test tubes in the pan. That's how hot your fact was.
Chloe, your fact is as hot as a spent soda can in the back of a hot car.
Oh,
when you get back from the pool and your car's been in the parking lot and there's a hot aluminum can and it burns you to the touch.
Oh, that burns. Ooh.
That's a hot can.
We will be back in a short moment with Chet's fact after a few words from our friends.
Hey there, Robo fans and Dino fans. Do you like science fiction? Do you like movies about robots and dinosaurs? Do you like podcasts that explore sci-fi philosophy through a fun and positive lens? Then you are going to love Robots vs. Dinosaurs. Every week, your host, Louis G, invites a guest onto the show to talk about one of their favorite sci-fi movies. It's a RoboCast. It's a DinoCast. It's a battle for ultimate awesomeness in science fiction pop culture. Subscribe to Robots vs. Dinosaurs on Apple, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts. New episodes every Friday. Follow us on Instagram at RobosVDinos or Twitter at Versus Robots. That is at VS Robots.
And we're back! Chat, we would love to hear your fact now.
Okay. So my fact is that grocery store apples are old. They're generally over a year old, most of the grocery store apples you're getting at the supermarket, because apples actually rot pretty quickly. And so most of the apples that are commercially sold at a grocery store have been treated. They're put in a box that has a chemical inside that keeps them from rotting. So they're usually in cold storage from 9 to 12 months. Wow. And the chemical, just for fun, is called 1-methylcyclopropene, also known as 1-MCP.
1-MCP.
Yeah. And it's you know, it turns out that, you know, it does nothing to us, they say. Big Apple says Big Apple. It does nothing to us.
Compared to all the other stuff we already got in these apples, they're good with this one.
Right. Yeah. But yeah, apparently, most apples aren't supposed to last as long because we get these fuckers all year round.
And yeah.
Anybody ever wonder the meth on that?
Yeah, always do.
USDA's done the meth on that.
Wow. So if apples could talk, they'd be going, kill me.
Let me go.
I knew they were old, but I had no idea it was like that length of time. Like, that's wild.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say like a month. Someone was a year. I was like, oh, no.
Those grocery store apples taste like shit, right?
Yeah,
they taste
do.
Like anything. They taste waxy. They also, they put a wax coating on them because, you know, that'll also help slow the rot.
Yeah. Oh, can I get one of these boxes in human size? Along my life? That's what I'm thinking. I'm like, okay, doesn't do anything to us. Is it going to keep me young?
Yeah. Does Sephora sell 1-MCP?
In like a coffin style, and I'll just sleep in it every night.
Wow. I wish. Wow, that's scary.
Poor little apples.
Damn. Well, you know, the mass industrial complex of food production it's got some secrets.
I'm from Big Dairy. Can we put some milk and cheese in your apples? Like,
where I come from, we eat cheese with our apple.
I had apple and cheese was my snack when I was a kid. My mom would slice up shitty Monterey Jack cheese with a little shitty apple. Bless her soul.
I so desperately tried to convince Shem and Lindsay and Chloe that like eating a chunk of cheddar cheese with your apple pie is like a normal thing. So when we were in LA together, what's the pie place?
We went to the House of Pies in Las Feliz.
Oh, that's
if only we'd known.
Yes. No, but okay, we went there and I saw that they had a slice of cheese on the menu with the pie. And I was like, yes, I knew it was a thing. And Sean was like, okay, I'll try this. But the cheese came out melted on top of the pie, which is like not my experience of cheese on pie. And I think, Shem, didn't you have like a key lime pie where like you shouldn't, you had a pie where I feel like you shouldn't melt cheese on top of it. And I was like, oh my God, you ended up eating my melty cheese because I was like, this is disgusting.
Oh, I ate everyone's leftover pie. that's I think why you keep me around.
Wow. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
That's it. Just wowie zowie.
You said zowie. Okay. I will. It's reminding me of that movie where the produce, all the food comes alive. What was that?
Sausage party?
Sausage party?
Yes. I never saw it.
I said that with Rachel can't possibly be referencing a Seth Rogen sex comedy.
I never saw it. I just saw the commercial.
I just was aware of it. No.
I also love that you're referring to it as the movie where produce comes alive.
That's why I was like, it's not Sausage Party. I haven't seen these delightful little fruits and tomatoes, no. And I would be into this movie.
Rachel, Veggie Tales?
No,
we could say Veggie Tales.
They weren't showing me Veggie Tales.
Okay.
No, in the trailer, like some carrots get eaten. That's all I know of Sausage Party. It's like poor carrots being like, I'm being murdered.
Yeah. Well, you can go back and watch it. I'm sure it holds up. It's a perfect.
I'm sure it held up then.
Not long ago.
My favorite part of the trailer was the lesbian tacos through and through.
They were lesbian tacos. Wow, I've suppressed a lot.
Very on the nose.
Remake it with the lesbian Doritos bag.
Walking taco. Lesbian walking taco.
I'm a walking lesbian.
Want a walking taco?
Sponsored by Dorito.
Honestly, fun. Okay, Chet, that fact is as hot as that steamy, melty piece of cheese on Shem's poor key lime pie. A surprise that we didn't really want, but important to know about nonetheless.
Chet, your fact was as hot as a hot apple cider.
Yum. Chet, your fact is as hot as a second date in the fall at an apple orchard. You're really hitting it off with your partner, and they're so good at picking apples, but they're very respectful as well.
Aww.
What a big second date. That requires a trip. That's the first date went well. We're investing time in this second date.
These are lesbians. I'm sorry. They're going very slow, actually.
Wow.
I was waiting for you. I was just thinking about that, but your orchard. Oh, God. Chat, that fact was as hot as a skip up, that's the bow, jazz apple. That's
oh, no. Oh no. Look, I didn't make a Granny Smith joke and I was being restrained.
No,
I didn't make a Pink Lady joke and I really could have.
The Pink Ladies as a gang predated the Pink Lady apple name.
Oh.
But that's not.
I think that was a fact.
I think it was a fact.
That was a previous fact.
But that one's just a bonus one.
It's just a bonus for today.
Just making a reminder. Fact.
They were like really scary, right?
Yeah, they were like a proper gang.
Okay.
Shem.
Lindsay.
Fact.
My fact is short and just about the movie business because I hate it. But like, if you remember the 2000s American comedy horror film Scary Movie, directed by Keenan Ivory Wayans, like it's not good, but that's beyond the point. My fact was just, I found it fascinating that Keenan, Sean Wayans and Marlon Wayans were developing like a movie for Paramount called Scary Movie. At the same time, Jason Treberg and Aaron Seltzer at Miramax were also developing a spoof of Scream called Scary Movie. Now, because of the WGA arbitration rules, Paramount bought the rights to the name Scary Movie. So Freeberg and Seltzer, despite not writing a single word of the Scary Movie film that we know and have seen, are credited as like writers on the Scary Movie franchise. And that meant that they then go on and have a very successful career on posters saying from the makers of Scary Movie. And no. They're the people who made Spy Hard, Date Movie, Disaster Movie, movies. So they do like, they're the people who like then ran the parody movie genre into the ground. They did Meet the Spartans, Disaster Movie, The Starving Games, Best Night Ever. And every time it's going from the makers of Scary Movie, even though they didn't write a single word of Scary Movie, they're just legally allowed to do that on their posters. And that I thought was fascinating.
Oh my God.
Wowie.
That's a banger. That's Hollywood, baby. That's Hollywood. That one hits especially because this is what we do. And this is just a fact of this bullshit business.
It's like, this one feels personal. Go ahead.
I was going to say, it reminds me, I interned and also temped for a publishing company. And when I was doing the intern bit, one of my jobs was to go through all the press reviews and pull out the quotes. But like, literally, you can pull out the one word and be like, astonishing. But it could be like, astonishing. It was so bad. But they're like, fine, we can pull it and like whack it on the back of a book. So like, my rule is, don't trust posters. Don't trust any of it. Nothing you read is true. If it's marketing.
I was just reading a review of a play. I was at a bookstore yesterday trying to find some new plays to read. And literally the review was like a noticeable improvement. I was like, these reviews must have been so bad if that is the one they're literally putting
on. That's the kind of pull quote I would love. I would pull. It's a noticeable improvement.
It feels like teacher rated it as well. It's like, well done. Good work since last time.
May I ask, what did you pick up any new plays? Did you go to the new drama books shop?
No, I was at the Strand because my parents are in town. So they were like, I was like, let's go to the Strand. You've never been. And while they were looking around, I did pick up new plays, but I honestly don't remember the names of them. Because
if you haven't, a friend of mine wrote one of the best plays ever called Behind the Sheet by Charlie Evan Simpson. Her play, it's so good. And it's about... it's a very dark, dark, but beautiful play about some of the early discoveries of gynecology and experiments that were done on enslaved women.
My God.
And we owe a lot of current gynecology to the contributions that enslaved women gave. So, but it's Behind the Sheet, incredible play.
Thank you. I'm always looking for new plays, so I'll take any rest.
So good. I learned so much. I was tempted to bring in a lot of those facts, but they are very upsetting. But anyway, I managed to put it in here anyway. Please see Behind the Sheet. Read or see if it ever comes back again. So good. Yes. So good. Behind the Sheet.
Behind the Sheet. Good. Good.
Less good than Behind the Sheet is the Tom Hardy movie where he plays both the Quay twins called Legend. But I bring it up just because, like, you see a range of all the 5-star ratings you get, and this poster, this rating from The Guardian here is actually 2 stars. But they've made it.
The Guardian was right. I've seen that movie and it was terrible.
But like,
that's amazing.
They just made it look like they're hiding all the stars behind their head.
Oh my God.
Honestly, smart.
That's
scary.
Very funny. And I bet the good ones are like Heat Magazine and the Daily Mail. Yeah. You're like, no.
The Daily Mail.
My mom's fridge gives it 5 stars.
Reddit user 90451 39XJ said it was good.
Don't blow up my spot, Chloe.
My friend flying to Edinburgh for our show would give people a flyer and say, it got 5 stars. And they were like, oh, wow. And he's like, from us. And then they would laugh and come to the show because it had been a fun interaction. Shem, your fact is as hot as an actual 5-star rating from a good publication.
Oh, that's solid.
I was quiet because I don't know what that feels like. But
Shem, that fact was as hot as my body temperature when I was little and I was at a sleepover and someone wanted to watch a scary movie and I was so scared that it was going to really be scary and I hid under a blanket. And I never saw it.
Well, on a related note, Shem, your fact was as hot as my body freaking internal temperature got when I was at a sleepover and somebody was like put on, what was it? It was like some movie that was rated R. And one of the other girls said, I can't put that on. My parents said, I can't watch that. And I said, you little bitch, I want to watch this movie. I said that mentally, of course. I would never say that out loud because I was outnumbered. Everyone was like, yeah, it makes sense. We shouldn't put that on. You really were, Rachel. I could see it in my eyes now.
My friends would watch them, but when it would get to the scary parts, they would close their eyes and ask me to provide audio commentary.
Well, this was a funny movie. This was just rated R because of like titties or swearing or whatever.
It's called Scary Movie. I can understand how one might flag it as frightening content.
Yes. Yeah.
Thank you. Your fact, Shem, was, this one was searingly hot. This one, is as hot as when you put a slice of American cheese on top of Tostitos and you pop it in the microwave for a little bit too long.
Oh, no.
And you've melted the plate. You put it on and the cheese into one. Okay? It's all become one. And you've microwaved the Tostitos long enough that they've become soft somehow.
Yep. Wow.
Oh, I feel that.
That's hot.
Oh, that's hot and scary.
Yeah.
Speaking of hot and scary.
Can you just imagine? It makes it seem like a writing strategy is just to register titles you think might become successful.
I'm registering it tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm like, can I get a credit from
Fast and Furious 10? All right.
B-movie 3?
Wow.
I have to get the lesbians in the book somewhere.
Get them in.
The lesbians.
I have a little fact to close us off. So, the fact I was going to bring in, it felt like it was just like a real quick one. So I'll share it and then do my proper fact. The first one was that in Alaska, it's illegal to whisper in someone's ear when you're moose hunting because you need to concentrate. But apparently they also have a lot of really obscure rules. So the blog I was reading was like, please check out the rules for Alaska before you go because there's things that will trip you up that you don't expect. But then I was taken to the world of sharks. So people were always like, oh my God, sharks. Like when I moved to Australia, people were like, why are you going there? You're going to get killed by a shark. I was like, I mean, not in an office where I will work 9 to 5, 5 days a week.
Just Australia as a whole.
People were super worried. Sharks. But on average, sharks kill like 6 to 10 people a year. But a lot of other things kill more people. So celebrating kills more people. 2 dozen people are killed by champagne corks every year. Ladders, there were 113 ladder-related fatalities. Hippos killed 2,900 people every year. And yeah, I just think people are always like, uh-oh, the sharks. But vending machines also kill more people every year. So people get real scared of sharks. I mean, I can see why, but we kill 100 million sharks every year. Oh, they kill 10 of us.
They kill 6 to 10.
So we're winning.
They're mad.
Huh?
Oh, just of course they're mad.
Of course they're mad. They're like, we can't get that body count. And it's like,
they're probably strategizing.
Food. So that's my little fact about sharks and other things that are way more deadly. So stay away from ladders.
That reminds me, this isn't a fun ad, but that reminds me of like, it's watching documentary about like the, I think it might've been Seaspiracy. So like there are other issues with this as well, but like just like the killing that happens as a result of, is it bycatching? Is that what it's called? But just like the amount of killing that happens when fishermen are trying to catch one thing, they happen to catch some other thing. So they're like, well, don't want this. And like kill it or like whatever is disgusting.
Wow.
Yeah, sorry, wasn't a fun ad, but that's what that reminded me of. Just, we're monsters, is what I want to say.
Yeah.
And the thing is, there's, like, actual scary things in the ocean.
Yeah.
Like, just the water itself. Yeah. Like, the tide is enough. I'm scared of the tide. More people are probably killed by the current.
Quick, let's register tide as a title and tide too. Yes.
We're going to get credits for like a movie about like the Tide Pod sensation.
Yeah.
Titanic.
Just about the downfall of
there was a tide. There was a Thai restaurant in Sydney called Titanic.
King Tideton.
I've never seen that as a Thai restaurant title. There's a lot of puns out there.
Oh, wow. That's good. Yeah, that makes me sad. Although they just need to release like a documentary called like My Shark Teacher, a la My Octopus Teacher, and people will be like, fine. Then we'll have problems of people being like, I'm going to try to like cuddle up to a shark. Because let me tell you, after My Octopus Teacher, I was like, do I get an octopus? How do I do this?
Well, you'll do better if you cuddle up to it, because they also kill less people below water. So the more deaths are from like surfers, like, but actually divers, less divers are killed by sharks than like others.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I wonder if they find it a threat if they're technically above water.
Like, I think, buddy, swim beside me.
And I think they, you, because you resemble like a seal more up top than under.
Yeah. I think it's that.
I resemble a seal more up top. Say that's true. Yeah, I resemble a seal more up top.
I still would never go in one of those shark cages.
No.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. I don't do things where you sign a waiver. Mm-hmm. In my free time, you know, I'll take any risk if you're gonna film it or whatever, you know. Like, I'm very brave if a camera's on or if there's money involved, but like in my personal life, I'm not gonna be taking those risks. No.
Are you, I think I know the answer, but it's air related versus water related, like skydiving. Would you are you willing to take that risk? Because I don't think I am anymore.
No. Unless again,
it's a bit. What if it's like a bit and we'll be like, $100, jump out of the plane and it'll be funny.
Well,
for more money, we'll give you more money.
No, it's not union.
Oh, okay. Oh, never mind. Again, sorry, I
mean exactly what I was going to say. Is it union? Is this bit union? If this bit is union, I'll do it. Okay, because I need to get my healthcare back for next year.
Yes.
Oh, God.
Wow. Yeah, my dad, who famously like, when I was little, he's scared of snakes. I like threw a plastic snake out on the floor and he got so scared that I feel bad about to this day. He got so scared, he like fell back in his chair, and he's like a 6 foot, he's like a big guy. So he like really hurt himself. But that man has been skydiving. And I'm like, how does this calculate? Like, you know, also like my dad just like isn't a very like risk-taking person. Mm-hmm.
If I've learned anything about fear, it's that it doesn't make any sense. Like, you don't choose, like, it's very selective what I'm afraid of and what I'm not, you know. It's very strange. Like, I can see very much a logic where a plastic snake will cause a man to injure himself in a chair, but skydiving will not. Like, that kind of, for the same reason that like, oh, if I'm getting paid $100, it doesn't scare me. But if I'm not, it does.
Yeah.
No, that makes sense.
I also love how sweet your family is, that like you're afraid of scary movie and your dad's afraid of plastic snakes.
No one Like, we wouldn't do well in the wild.
I love that the wild is full of scary movie and Little Rubber Snakes.
Rachel Charter's Fear Factor.
Oh, God.
It'd be the cutest.
Here's a plastic snake, here's a scary movie, and here's just an awkward social encounter where you have to criticize someone for doing badly. You're like, ah, no!
Just pouring sweat. Oh, okay, Linz, that fact was as hot as the rising temperatures of our ocean waters. Mm. Sorry, yeah. Andy.
Lindsay fact was as hot as... I think in Finding Nemo, Bruce post therapy, I think he has like a lot to offer.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the big shark.
Oh,
Bruce?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Lynn, your fact is as hot as the sand in the middle of a cloudless day. Oh, the first second you take off your flip-flops and the bottom of your little feet touch it.
Yeah. Owie.
Owie kazowie.
Yeah.
Owie kazowie.
That's hot.
That's pretty hot.
Pretty hot.
I have chills in my body.
Hi, Linz. My name is Gary. I'm an Australian shark, but I will be working for the HR department in your office. Just so you know, you're not allowed to call things hot around here. It counts as... against company policy.
Thank you, Gary.
I love that Shem. Gary. Shem knows I work in HR and he still made the shark a super nerd. I'm fun and cool. HR can be fun and cool.
You made it Australian, which is your love.
No, I'm just, yeah.
Okay, it is the time of the podcast chat where we would like you to pick the hottest fact from today. You can pick your own fact. People have. Please do if you think it was the hottest fact. But we will do a quick round the houses to recap.
Puppy pregnancy.
Coke, Pepsi, and cheese.
I'll have two of those.
I probably am also one of the writers of Scary Movie.
Sharks don't kill that many people. People sure kill many sharks.
Oh, said like a real shark. I'm going to go with, I think the hottest act is the Scary Movie fact, because that is the closest to home. Yeah. That is, now I'm going to, this is my way into the WGA. I am going to just write titles and hope I luck into a franchise.
Hey, you work on your scripts over quarantine. I worked on my titles.
Yeah. I just worked on my titles, okay? You gotta think smarter, not harder.
And then you can even launch your how to write a title class.
Whoa.
How to write movies. Titles.
It's a 6-week class, 3 hours
a
week.
Go to the beach. Kiss a shark.
Underwater.
Yeah, they love it down deep.
Thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. If people want to find you on social media, where can they find you?
Just on the Instagram. I'm at Chet Siegel on Instagram.
Beautiful. Thank you for being a part of this. We have been Trash Comedy. You can find us at We Are Trash Comedy on Instagram. Same on Twitter, but don't use A-R-E. Use R for We Are Trash Comedy. I mean the letter R, not like the generic noise a pirate makes in a stereotypical pirate. If you want to email us a fact, that will be great. We are trashcomedy@gmail.com. We're part of the Apocalypse Podcast Network. Goodbye.
Wait, Sunday the 11th of June, we have like an actual live show. We have two like actual in-person live.
Oh, yeah.
We have three like actual live shows.
Yeah,
I thought we should make...
up signal from Shem, so okay. I was like, close this down.
Well, Rachel had a hard out, but also we have like a real in-person show.
Okay, we do have real in-person shows. We have a Show at Caveat on Sunday, 11th of July at 10:30 p.m. It's going to be 10 p.m. It was 10:30. Now 10 p.m. Come along. Be real fun. It's going to be like a comedy panel show. The audience can win prizes. And it will be a live version of this in some way, shape, or form. On July 26th, we are performing a sketch show at Caveat at 7:30 p.m.
Sure.
Yes.
Great. And then on July 30th, I believe, a Friday at 8 p.m., we have our show back that we used to do in the before pandemic times, and that is at the Crane Theater.
Woo!
At 8 p.m.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening to the Apocalypse Podcast Network. For more great podcasts, go to apocalypsepodcastnetwork.com. And remember, every time you support one of our sponsors, you're supporting the podcast you just heard.